The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
All right, good afternoon, Tucson. 12:04, Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. He's on his way right now up to Victoria Island, escaping what's left of the summer heat here in Tucson. And so we wish Bill the best of travels and hope that he has a fun vacation through the end of this week and on into next week, where you'll be hearing a wonderful, great hosts here on the Buckmaster Show. We have a good show for you today. Two guests. The second half of the show will be Dr. Albrecht Klassen, or Klassen, rather. He's the professor of German studies at the University of Arizona. We're going to be talking about an event that he has coming up here at the beginning of September. But we're going to start off the Buckmaster Show here with a friend of mine. In the interest of full disclosure, he's a friend and also a business owner and part and president of the Sunshine Mile Business Association. His name is Andy Littleton. Welcome.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I appreciate the opportunity to talk with you all today.
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that you're a part of is the Sunshine Mile Business Association, which is kind of front and center for everything that's happening with the Broadway widening project right now.
Right. Yeah, all of a sudden, I joined the association about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there were, you know, possibilities of things that could happen. And now that the widening project is officially occurring, it feels like a whole new world. We're gearing up for change. We're talking about what's coming next. And it's been a lot to absorb in the last 5 years, but it's an exciting time to be involved.
So let's talk about your company that you own, Midtown Artisans. You're on the Sunshine Mile essentially, right?
Yeah, we're not on Broadway, but we're just close. Off. And it's important to note that, you know, for the Sunshine Mile, we work with businesses three blocks off of the actual strip as well. So that includes people who are just around the corner off Broadway. Okay. And some of the ways that the city is engaging with business owners, they're talking about similar things. Three blocks off or a quarter mile off of the
so that's what it takes to qualify.
Exactly.
Cool. Yep. So one of the things I kind of wanted to talk about, because a lot of people hear the name Sunshine Mile, and even a lot of people who live in Tucson don't necessarily know the history behind it.
Right.
So maybe tell us, you know, how it got its name and kind of the backstory on the Sunshine Mile.
Yeah, I think even for myself, when I first came around to the area, there's a mural up on one of the prominent buildings that says the Sunshine Mile. And so in my mind, it just is the Sunshine Mile. That was that. And and the truth is that it was the name Sunshine Mile was kind of brought back from obscurity at a certain point. So it first occurred because we heard this from the folks over at Tucson Historic Preservation years ago, that there was a contest, the East Broadway merchants, there was a contest of different names that they would call this strip between Euclid and Country Club. And the name Sunshine Mile was the winner out of that contest in 1953. So the area was named the Sunshine Mile in 1953, which is around the time this area really, really boomed.
When started developing.
Modernist architecture began to show up. This would have been just after, you know, Hirsch's Shoes had been a standalone business on the side of Broadway. And so it really blew up during that time, and that's when it was named. And then at some point that name sort of fell off, and we're not sure when that was. And then it was reestablished around 2011 or so.
And was that because someone went back and read the history on it and just kind of started bringing it back, or what was the whole deal there?
Yeah, and so we had, as we said, somebody talked to, I believe it was Damien over at Tucson Historic Preservation. Damien Klinko. And actually, this is Monica Hay Cook, who's on our board. And so she and he had a conversation in which he told her about this this name, this contest. And she thought, we should really bring that back. And so a group of folks founded this business association, kind of brought back the name, kind of was, they were trying to make it a destination again. The mural was a result of that. The business association itself was a result of that.
And can you tell us where the mural is again?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, as you're right after you pass, right after you pass Tucson Boulevard, basically on the south side of the street.
Okay. Yeah. Now, the architecture, of course, is one of the things that's the distinguishing feature of that mile corridor on Broadway. Tell us a little bit about that and kind of what makes the Sunshine Mile special.
Yeah. I mean, I think that just one little anecdote, I think, really set that firmly in my mind, how special the area was. And that's that during Tucson Modernism Week, three, 4 years ago, I went to one of the lectures and it was talking about storefronts and the theory of storefronts during kind of the modern architecture boom. And one of the presenters said, you know, I don't live from around here, but I visited Tucson just to look at Hirsch's shoes several times.
One storefront.
Just that one storefront, because it is one of the most well-preserved of this era that really captures kind of the spirit of the era. And of course, Tucson Historic Preservation has purchased that and is maintaining it and keeping it original. And so the fact that we have storefronts like that and so many of them in the area, and some that could be restored, is pretty special. And other destinations throughout the country, Palm Springs, for example, have similar groupings of mid-century modern architecture.
And in such a consolidated area.
Exactly.
I mean, it's not like, you know, there's sometimes where you can see it sparsely around town even now.
Oh, sure.
In Tucson.
Yeah, exactly. There are other great examples in other areas of town, but it's the fact that they're all next to each other.
And then the architects who designed some of the buildings that are there were designing other buildings around town as well. So can you name some of those architects off the top of your head? That might be a tough one.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
You know what? I am bad with remembering these names. But
that's fine.
But no, there's so many. If some of my associates were here with you, they'd rattle
it
off.
Yeah.
But yeah, really, it's kind of a who's who.
Yeah, and so many iconic buildings like the
Continental
Bank,
and Chase Bank.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, and exactly. So many. One of my favorites is it was most recently It's a Blast Gallery.
Oh, okay.
And that's just one of my personal favorites. The palm tree that extends through the roof and kind of how the indoor outdoor the landscaping flows into the interior of the building. It's a pretty special area.
Sure. And so that's kind of what brought you along to be part of the Sunshine Mile. You have a business that's over there, and you saw there's a lot of architecture and a lot of something special that's happening here, and you wanted to be a part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a style of architecture that I love, and it's an area of town that, I mean, we all engage with. I think if you're a Tucsonan or ever on the east side and you ever go downtown, and this is an area of the city that you are engaging with, looking at, experiencing, and so I think it's a special area to a lot of us.
Sure. So let's talk about the Sunshine Mile Business Association. We're talking with the president of that association, Andy Littleton. Tell me a little bit about the association, your involvement, when it started, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so back in 2011 or so is what we were thinking. I had a conversation with some of the original members, and they said, oh, yeah, we were in the 2011, 2012 zone when we actually really revamped and started this association. At that time, they brought 40 businesses together under the banner of the Sunshine Mile with the goal of promoting one another, bringing a name to the area, really just investing and making the area a destination. And and a lot of, you know, considering that a lot of the businesses have had to relocate in recent years, a lot of those founding folks are still with us, which is pretty special. And they've put in a lot of work. And the reason I think that we call the Sunshine Mile is, you know, very much due to these folks.
Sure. And I think part of the issue there is that the Broadway widening project, which we will talk about later on in this show, has been looming. So is that one of the things that caused some of these businesses to leave, or is there other mitigating factors?
Yeah. I think that is the major factor, is that it was, there've been 25 years or so of talk of this occurring. And so some folks have been anticipating it or concerned about it for years and years.
Sure.
And then with the decision being made, I think folks who were already on the verge just decided, let's go. And the city was able to work with those folks to some degree or another. And so some have relocated because of that. And then others are looking forward to what's coming and saying, I want to be a part of that. I mean, I think I fall in that category. And and we're saying, okay, it's going to be a process. There's going to be change. There's going to be construction. But we are excited about what's coming. And we think that even though, a widening project is difficult, the end result of this, because of some of the stakeholders who are investing in this, is going to be good.
So then the Sunshine Mile Business Association is partnering now with other aspects, organizations rather, in the city.
Right.
Can you explain those different partnerships and how they work?
Yeah. I mean, currently the biggest one that's in the works is working with Rio Nuevo. I mean, they're obviously they are the agency that's able to invest in this area in a really unique way, including, developing this overlay district that's going to, make things possible in the area that just weren't possible before. They own a number of properties that they're going to be able to change their use and kind of make some special zones along Broadway Boulevard that I think are going to be destinations for folks. So that's a key one. We're also planning to try to develop some corporate sponsorships with larger organizations that sit along the mile. So we're kind of we're kind of the mom and pops. We're kind of the locals, and we're saying, hey, because we want to see this area thrive, and we want to lead our area through this project. We're going to try to get some of the corporate folks to jump in and help us do that.
But it's nice that the mom and pops, have a seat at the table.
Absolutely.
And bringing them together gives them a larger voice.
Absolutely.
Does it not?
Oh, yeah. That's probably the key element. And, talking point number one, I think, for our business owners is, hey, if we're just individuals engaging with government entities and stuff, that's hard. It takes a lot of work and you just have a little voice. And
sure.
So if we're arms linked, and we're working together for the same goals, for the prosperity of the area, and we can pool our resources, that's a beautiful thing.
Sure. And then, of course, the widening will change a lot of what's happening there, what it looks like, and we'll talk about that in a second. But first, as Bill would do, this is a very special point of Bill's program, where he gets to talk about Mona's Danish Bakery.
I'm glad. I want to talk about this with you.
Okay. Well, tell me your favorite part about Mona's.
Well, okay. So I heard Bill is a big fan of the Kringle, and
he is, and
I have had the Kringle. I was at a party in which somebody brought the Mona's Kringle, and though I had only a sliver, it was delectable. It was delicious.
It had to go around to everyone, though, right?
It had to go around to everybody, and everybody took some. I when I've walked in, because the Kringle is large, I've really engaged mostly in cinnamon rolls, and they're different than the ones you get elsewhere, and I love them as well.
But they're good.
There you go. It's delicious. It's great. When not on the Sunshine Mile, when up in the foothills.
Yeah.
I love to stop by.
Go to Mona's Danish Bakery. Mona's Danish Bakery is serving homemade breakfast every day. They're also open for lunch right now.
Go there.
Yeah. Go check it out. Mona's Danish Bakery is on the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. You can also go to monasdanishbakery.com, or if you'd like, go to buckmastershow.com for a link to Mona's Danish Bakery. We will continue talking about the Broadway widening project right after this here on The Buckmaster Show, 1030, The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops, craft beer, and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. The Regional Transportation Authority has a 35-member Citizens Advisory Committee working to identify transportation priorities for the region and will be seeking public input on those priorities before too long. These priorities will help guide development of an RTA continuation plan. The current RTA plan and half-cent excise tax will continue through June 2026. To sign up for RTA updates, visit rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Hey, it's Matt Russell from The Buckmaster Show.
And this is Ryan Hansen from Bon Voyage Travel.
I am so pumped to be partnering with Bon Voyage on my next culinary and cocktail cruise.
This is definitely a cruise for foodies as you experience the Mediterranean on Celebrity Cruises.
And the private excursions that your team has arranged for us? I mean, come on, an Ouzo distillery tour in Greece? A food and wine day on Malta?
We'll handle everything, so all you and your guests need to do is eat, drink, and be happy.
Go to bvtravel.com/Matt Russell to learn more.
This is Moa Mosgallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at mosgallery.com.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1221. I'm Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing, and I think now in the air traveling Bill Buckmaster. He's headed to Victoria Island, which I imagine is probably pretty nice right now.
Sounds nice. Yeah.
It's never been out of the country.
Yeah.
In Canada, but I think he's making a stop off up north. I'm not sure about all the plans. I am sure because he gave me the itinerary. I just have questions about whether or not I know it well enough. So
yeah, that's me and the architects.
Yeah, exactly.
For some reason, yeah.
It slips your mind. Yeah, that's all right. We are joined by the president of the Sunshine Mile Business Association, a friend of mine, Andy Littleton, also a business owner. The business is Midtown Artisans. Did you want to plug your business real quick? Talk about what you do?
Oh, I'd love to. Yeah, we're a custom furniture company, and we do residential, commercial, and so especially if you're doing a restaurant office build out, we really specialize in making those unique one of a kind pieces. And same goes for residential, and we make things that last. We put our heart into it, and
do you have a website that they can get to?
MidtownArtisans.com.
There you go. So there you get a little bit of a free plug there.
Yay, thanks. Bonus.
Yeah, there you go. No worries. So let's talk about the Broadway widening project a little bit now.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
Yep.
You know, over two decades of planning and trying to figure this out.
Discussion.
Yeah.
Public awareness that something was going to potentially happen.
Yeah. Yes, and that sometimes has deleterious effects. But now we're officially getting to a place where if you've driven down Broadway, like for example, today I drove down and I looked and all of a sudden that old Discount Tire is gone.
The new one, right.
Brakemasters.
Yep.
Yes, Brakemasters, sorry, is gone and the new one's up.
Yep.
And I've seen some other buildings that are kind of starting to disappear. So it seems like it's happening.
Oh, it's happening. Yeah. And the utilities are being moved over the last couple of days. The cones are coming out for part of the day and you can't use the turn lane, while they're drilling for, power lines. And then they'll put the cones back and it opens back up. Gas lines have been moved. You'll see boring machines out there, and that's all preparatory, because the the rest of the construction and demolition is about to come. It's about to happen. You'll see soon one of the Rio Nuevo projects that's going to be really interesting that, you know, you don't want to get in a wreck because you're watching it, but they're going to be moving some of the old bungalows that are right next to Broadway. They're going to be picking them up and moving them back so that they can be preserved. So that's probably one of the more interesting elements that's coming soon.
So talk about the way those things are built and how they can move those houses. That's fascinating to me.
Right. I mean, clearly the floor is elevated on those old bungalows. So it's a little different than, you know, the houses that you might be used to now that are, you know, a slab is laid and stick and stucco is built on top. So they can actually get under these, jack them up, and then, you know, shift them.
Move them back.
And then they're going to have to do new pylons and some, sure. I mean, there are a lot of elements. There's a reason they didn't hire me to do this.
I know, right?
they can get under them. And kind of having lived in one of the older homes in Tucson years back, it had a crawl space underneath. And I'm imagining that these homes are built in a similar fashion.
So then what role does the Sunshine Mile Business Association play in informing and alerting people to about what's happening on the Broadway widening project?
Yeah, so that's what we're working on. So this is kind of a stay tuned for what's coming maybe weeks, because we're working on a new website and a new system to deliver the information about this widening project to residents, business owners, and just whoever wants to know.
People going through the area.
Yep. And so our website is going to start to become kind of a hub. And there's information being shared well from a lot of different channels, be it Rio Nuevo or the city of Tucson itself or the Regional Transportation Authority, the Main Street Project. There's a lot of channels that are sharing info. And what we want to do is grab all of that info and put it under the name Sunshine Mile that people know and reshare it in an effective way using social media, the website. We may even be able to do a text alert system for people who want to follow that and know what's going on the street if they, you know, how to navigate it for the day. We're planning to have a little Volkswagen Bug that is going to be, you know, parked in front of businesses when there's a sale and something exciting going on that you can see. And we're going to do little videos of it navigating the various, you know,
sure.
The challenges.
Kind of promotional and challenges. Because, I mean, as anyone knows, construction in areas can be difficult for businesses.
Yeah, it always is.
You can help with that by trying to get people inside those doors.
That's what we're trying to do. And there's resources out there for small business owners, for just business owners in general. And we've found that a lot of our business owners don't know about those, despite great efforts. And so we're going to just be another voice trying to pick up every opportunity we hear about where somebody could get, say, Main Street Project, they offer some graphic work and some signage help when your business is on the area that's getting, you know, developed. And we want to help get people connected to that kind of stuff and host little forums where we bring in the folks who can explain that to our business owners. And we're going to try to put in a lot of work to help with the change.
So then can you alert us to what the URL will be when they need to go?
Sunshinemile.com. There's an old website there, but there's a beautiful new one that's about to take its place. So
cool.
Yeah.
We're looking forward to that. Now tell us about any upcoming events or opportunities that people listening now may have to get involved or do anything down there.
Yeah. I think the two most exciting upcoming events, the first is Tucson Modernism Week, and that happens in our area, and that's led by the folks over at Tucson Historic Preservation. But it really highlights the modernist architecture. And right now with a lot of the spaces available, they're going to utilize some of those, I hear. Mm-hmm. And so there's a cleanup day coming up for that people in the community can volunteer for, where some of these really unique storefronts are going to get kind of a facelift preparing for Modernism Week. And to me, that's an exciting time to get to check these spaces out kind of in a more intimate way while there's not a business operating in them.
Yeah.
And it's we will help announce when that cleanup day is. We know it's coming, but we don't have a hard date. But Modernism Week is October 5th to 13th. And that's going to be highlighting the mid-century modern architecture and just the era. And there's always a vintage trailer show and a home tour that goes along with that. And it's always an exciting time for us in the area and really highlights some of the best of the area. And I think that during this you know, time of change, it's a great time to come out and support all the businesses in the area during this event.
Yeah, during the construction.
Oh, yeah.
Talk about the People for Public Spaces partnership that you guys have.
Yeah, People for Public Spaces. Now, Rio Nuevo has brought People for Public Spaces in, and these folks have worked on an incredible amount of projects, you know, worldwide, I believe. I mean, including stuff like, you know, Central Park. And they're coming in and out to help, you know, get community involvement, to get insight, to help guide the process, to just help with communication. Mm-hmm. And it's been exciting. I've had a chance to sit down with just about all the people involved there, and they're great. They have a lot of experience with placemaking is kind of the idea. Like, let's make this a destination, a place that people want to be.
Cool.
So to me, that's extremely exciting because the area, what we don't want is for the widening project to have the effect of making it less of a special place. Even though, like, it is going to be a wider street, we want to make a lot of investment to make it a very special place. And I think these folks have a lot of wisdom that they're bringing to the table, and we should be grateful that we were able to utilize them.
Very nice. So then the last point of this, I guess, would be if people want to connect even further, you guys have a lot of activity that you're doing on social media with Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah, we've been investing a little more in that, and that's only going to grow with the additions to the website. So you can follow us, you know, Sunshine Mile. You just go to Sunshine Mile on Facebook, on Instagram. And so you're going to start to see where there's already more activity. You'll see more and more as things get a little busier. Look out for the Volkswagen bug that's coming.
Good deals there too.
And that's going to be signaling. We're going to use that to help kind of promo, you know, good deals and what businesses are doing. And yeah. And then obviously, like I said, the website will all integrate with that within the next month or so.
Awesome. We've been talking to Andy Littleton, who is the president of the Sunshine Mile Business Association. And give us that website one more time.
Yeah, sunshinemile.com.
Perfect. Pretty simple. Really easy.
Yep.
All right, we're going to take a break right now, and we will be right back after this break talking to Dr. Albrecht Clausen from the University of Arizona. This is the Buckmaster Show on 1030, the voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine, and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
All right, welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. It's 12:34 in the afternoon. But before we get to the rest of the show, we do want to say that this portion of the Buckmaster Show is presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. So much to do and see in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, like exploring the historic downtown Silver City or visiting the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument. For a complete listing of the many things to do and the great places to stay and see, go visit the website southwestnewmexico.org. All right, well, continuing with the Buckmaster Show here on this Thursday afternoon, we are now talking to Dr. Albrecht Clausen, a distinguished professor of German studies at the University of Arizona, in partnership with the Humanities Program. Dr. Clausen teaches and researches the European Middle Ages, the early modern age, the modern German-speaking lands, and focusing on literature, visual arts, politics, philosophy, and religion, and has published more than 90 scholarly books. Dr. Clausen, welcome to the Buckmaster Show.
Ray, thank you very much. Very
you're
happy
welcome.
To be here.
Yeah, you're welcome. So you have an event that's coming up here on September 9th, correct?
That's correct, yes.
At the Himmel Park Library, called The Holocaust and Its Memory. And it also, we and our past aiming for the future. That'll be on September 9th from 4 to 5 at the Himmel Park Library. So we thought it would be a really great time to have you on to talk about some of what you're going to talk about there, but also just about Germany in general and some of the interesting things that come up when people are talking about the Holocaust.
Yeah, fantastic. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're so welcome. You're so welcome. So I think the way that I'd like to kind of couch the conversation and start it out is something that is I find perplexing. And it is that when it came to the Reformation with Martin Luther and many others in Germany, you had this kind of explosion of technology and freedom and a lot of things that really was a changing moment for Europe and European history and Germany in particular. And out of that same country, if you fast forward 500 years, you get someone like Adolf Hitler. And for me, that's an interesting dichotomy.
That's right.
If
yes.
you will.
Yeah. Well, Germany is situated in a very funny way, right in the middle of Europe, east, west, north, south. Germany has always played a major role in history, in philosophy, technology, and oddly enough, it continues to be really a leader in this regard. Think about the technology that comes out of Germany, green technology, green energy, lots of new things coming out of this country. At the same time, they are based on a very rich, very diverse history, as you indicated, freedom, the Marxism, Karl Marx. Then you have, of course, Hitler and the Holocaust, First World War, Second World War. And yet then there's the rise, you could say, of the phoenix out of the ashes.
Yeah.
So it's a very odd country. People often have said a country of philosophers and writers and composers, and at the same time, well, monsters like Hitler. So yeah. You have both things. So it's an extremely interesting country. And as professor of German studies, I'm very, very happy that I have a chance to talk and to discuss these things.
And so does it make it difficult to have nuanced conversations about it with those extremes?
I don't think so. First of all, I'm a medievalist as a researcher,
sure.
But I work very much with all these modern issues as well. And I have talked about many different modern German issues on behalf of the Arizona Humanities Council and many different libraries. And virtually any library here in the state or any civic group can ask me to come to give them a talk. And now, pertaining to your question, I'm in a very odd situation. I was born after the war. I've learned a lot about what happened before. My parents grew up in that horrible time period. So what is my responsibility? I have no guild or anything of that sort, but I'm part of that culture. I'm teaching that culture. And I think I'm highly qualified, therefore, to reflect, to empathize, to share. So to work through this whole topic, which continues to be so pertinent to us.
Yes, it does. I mean, every day you will turn on the news and you'll see stuff that you could say, wow, that's really, it's emanating out of some of these similar perspectives and thoughts, right?
Well, the whole history of the Holocaust is, of course, the worst history ever. But at the same time, I'm always an optimist, and I believe you can learn from the darkest moments in history. There's always a silver line. Things have changed in Germany dramatically. You mentioned Martin Luther. You mentioned the Reformation, the freedom of all of that. However, protests against Jews, hatred, anti-Judaism, anti-Semitism were already present in many earlier time periods. And amazing enough, if you think about the 18th century, incredibly strong pro-Jewish texts like Lessing's Enlightenment, and you have both sides, you have the extremes right there. And it's
all
really
in
funny.
One place.
All in one place. It's a very complex world, very old world, and yet very productive. So I think this is a fascinating and highly pertinent topic to talk about that today.
Sure.
Because you mentioned you have similar problems in other parts of the world. There is hatred against minority groups, even in our own country. Mm-hmm. We have the neo-right groups here in this country. So in Germany as well. This issue is not going away. You have problems in Turkey. You have problems in Iran, in African countries. So I think the German history and the way how Germany is dealing with these things, the memory, that could be really a model for the rest of the world.
So let's talk about that. What is Germany doing now that you would say is helping to move forward from what is definitely a dark past?
Germany has worked extremely hard, also with the help of the United States after the Second World War, to come to terms with its own history. When I grew up as a youngster there in Germany, I was inundated with information about the Holocaust. We went on toured concentration camps and so forth. So this is very, very present everywhere. My talk, however, will deal with a very interesting a new approach, namely, how do you deal with suffering and pain in the past? What do we do as a people, knowing that we have done really bad things in our own country? Germany is trying very hard to come to terms with its own past. There are lots of sites that deal with memory.
Yeah.
In a very moving way. One of the most beautiful ones in my mind is the Holocaust Memorial in Berlin. And this is the most amazing thing because it's a kind of a huge field with naked black stones with no inscriptions on it. You can walk through this field, you're suddenly in history, and you kind of hear the voices of the past, and yet you are also a member of this world. You still hear the modern traffic. It is the most moving memorial because there's no inscription. Mm-hmm. You are writing the history. Mm-hmm. You are creating history. History creates your identity. So by not having anything written, underneath there is all the information, yes, but the field itself just allows everyone to understand the sorrow and the pain which permeates the entire field. This is just an incredible experience. History is right there with us.
And where is that located again?
It's just south of the Brandenburg Gate.
Wow.
So all history is right there, and just maybe half a mile north is the parliament. There you have the American and the Russian embassies. So all of public life takes place right there, and the history with this Holocaust memorial is right there in front of everyone. So I will discuss that at length, but I also will talk a lot about the so-called Stolpersteine. A German artist did something remarkable. I've never seen anything like that before in my life. He researched all over Germany, and he found houses where Jews were taken by the Nazis and then taken to the concentration camp and killed. So he created this project, which is ongoing, to put little stones in the pavement right outside of the houses, and you can see name, date, deported to, killed, murdered here and there.
So you have the constant reminder of where they last lived, right?
Exactly.
And then what happened to that person in the house that they lived in.
And it's right everywhere. It's in front of everyone. It is history that is integrated into our own life.
And it's that spatial awareness, I think, that helps bring home like the size of it. Because if it's everywhere and you see it everywhere, it reminds you of how horrible it was.
The most horrible thing for me is to think about the fact that these were ordinary people. These were neighbors. These were soldiers. These were officers. These were judges. These were shopkeepers. They were just part of the entire German fabric. So it was really an onslaught against a whole section of the population.
Wow.
And this was horrible, of course. And yet there is suddenly memory. I think a beautiful, very sensitive memory. Please keep in mind, the Germans did this.
Mm-hmm.
And that needs to be right in front of us. History is not going away.
Yeah. We're talking with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, who is a professor of German studies at the University of Arizona and is working with the humanities program. He has an event that's coming up on September 9th from 4 to 5 at the Himmel Park Library, talking about the Holocaust and its memory. We're going to be back with you in just a second. We have to take a break here on the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:45. We'll be back and we'll talk more about this event and Germany on the Buckmaster Show.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same. The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year transportation plan is funded through June 2026 by a special taxing district, which is a state-established political subdivision within Pima County. The RTA plan and half-cent excise tax were voter-approved in May 2006, and the tax is collected within the district. More about RTA Citizens Advisory Committee's efforts to develop an RTA continuation plan at rtamobility.com.
At Sierra Tucson, we see miracles of healing every day. We are honored to be an international premier treatment center right here in Southern Arizona. Our comprehensive evidence-based programs focus on addiction recovery, mood and anxiety disorders, trauma recovery, including PTSD, pain recovery, and co-occurring disorders. Learn more at sierratucson.com. Or call us at 800-842-4487. We work with most insurance payers.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. Ray Allen filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. This is the first day of his vacation. He'll be back not next week, but the week after next, and we have a lot of great guest hosts that will be filling in for Bill, so be sure to just keep on listening to us here on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted local news and talk. It's 1250 right now, and I would be remiss if I didn't mention Green Things. Since 1970, Green Things has been the go-to place for all of your gardening needs. Now Green Things, on their 13 acres, sits the home to Zocalo Village and all of those fine Mexican and Latin American imports. Green Things on River Road, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park, and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Well, we will continue now on the Buckmaster Show with our discussion with Dr. Albrecht Clausen, who is a distinguished professor of German studies at the University of Arizona with the Humanities Program. He has an event that's coming up called The Holocaust and Its Memory. That will be on September 9th from 4 to 5 at the Himmel Park Library. Welcome back with us, Dr. Clausen.
Thank you.
Now, one of the things that we want to talk about and that you were addressing prior to our break was the idea of history. And I think there's a difficulty when it comes to history because there are people that want to, when it comes to history, either glorify what happened in the past and actually, in a sad way, celebrate the bad parts of it. And then there's an opposite reaction to that where there are people that see that and then want to hide that history or get rid of it because they see that people still recognize it as something that was, for them, a good thing. And one of the things that we were noticing, or that I was noticing rather, when you were talking about the acknowledgement of what was happening in Germany is that it's almost inescapable. You can't escape the history that is there. So talk about how that plays out here in America when it comes to all of the negative things that have happened in our country.
Yeah, thank you. So on the one hand, you have, of course, everywhere, all over the world, this strong fascination with Nazis, the Wehrmacht, and the military, all that. I understand this exists. And it also, you have it in Germany, you have very right-wing groups right now, people who want to regain their status and who call these 12 years of the Nazi regime, quote unquote, bird shit in German history. That's a quote directly from one of the current leaders of a right-wing party in Germany. This was just bird shit, forget it, irrelevant. However, the past doesn't go away. Human suffering doesn't go away. We cannot just simply pretend, as many people do, that there was a grand, glorious military operation. That was the Second World War, but that was all based and predicated on human suffering.
Yeah.
I represent humanities. I am not into military history. Sure. I am dealing with the human component and what we can do through literature, music, the arts, that all help us to come to terms with that suffering.
So I think the tension there is then, how do you acknowledge history without glorifying it, and then how do you have a something that engages with people that enables them to maybe engage with that suffering? Is that what you would want to happen?
Exactly, because we don't want the current generation to feel totally overburdened and by guilt, but rather they have to accept this was part of the history of their grandparents. And every people, look, in the United States, Peru, you go everywhere, you have lots of suffering, lots of terrible things, genocides happened in Turkey, that's a tricky issue, Central African Republic, and so forth. The Germans did it in a very mechanical way, in a horrifying way. We don't want to allow history to overburden us, but we need to deal with it. And we need to go through history with history, but march toward the future.
Sure. And so you've kind of outlined some of the ways that they're doing that in Germany. Is there any other particular ways that they're doing that there, or that you've seen people do it here that you would like to replicate and continue to emphasize, and also to maybe correct some of the negative ways that it's been done?
There is, for example, a wonderful novel. This has also been made into a movie. It's called The Reader.
Okay.
By a German writer, Bernhard Schlink, and I actually will teach it this semester. And there's an American movie of this, and it's of a young man right after the war who falls in love with an older woman. And for the summer, he has an affair with her. Later, it turns out that she was a prison guard.
Oh.
And was responsible for the death, burning death of hundreds of women. And then she's condemned and tried. And so this young man kind of represents the new generation and his suffering. There is kind of statutory rape that takes place. So kind of the, metaphorically, what have the Nazis done with the young generation? A statutory rape, you could say.
Yeah.
And that they really suffer through that. But that was my parents' generation. We are in a different generation. And in a new generation right now, they're even further away. But I think we always need to keep history in mind because it's not going away. And we don't want to repeat the same mistakes.
Exactly.
And that's extremely dangerous. Think about anti-Semitism. Think about Tucson. I live right next to a synagogue. Whenever they have their major events, a police officer has to be there. That is sad.
It is.
You've heard of the attack against the synagogue in Pittsburgh. People were killed. Anti-Semitism. It's the same here. It's the same in Iran, in Egypt, in Russia, you name it. So this is ongoing, and people continue to have hatred. And our job in the humanities really is, that's why we're teaching it, to overcome this hatred. And to try to see how we can supplant that history of hatred with new love and integration and diversity and inclusivity. That's what we really aim for.
Well, and you said that you always like to approach these things as an optimist.
Yes.
When you're dealing with such dark topics, how do you do that?
Well, human beings have always been murderous and criminal and violent, but violence never leads anywhere. I don't want to argue as a Christian. I want to argue as a humanist and say that, yes, there's always a glimmer of hope. And actually, we have always overcome ultimately that evil. So I'm very optimistic that ultimately also our own country, but Germany as well. And you can see Germany doing it right now, really working extremely hard to work through the sufferings from the past and to be just. To be just again. And we all can do that.
Yeah. So let's again talk about this event real quick before we have to wrap up. You're going to be talking about the Holocaust and its memory at Himmel Park Library on September 9th. That's coming up pretty quickly, surprisingly enough, from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Himmel Park Library. Again, just a quick preview of the event and what you'll be doing.
I will give a presentation. It's a PowerPoint presentation. I will show images of what has been done, what kind of memorials available right now, how the Germans are dealing with this and what they have produced very actively and very solidly in order to come to terms with their own past, with their own guilt, without becoming a victim of that guilt and to move on into the future.
Wow, that sounds like a really interesting event. And there's limited seating, right? I think there's not. Is it free to the public?
Or? It's free to the public. Okay. There's room for maybe 35, 40 people.
Okay.
It's a beautiful little library in Himmel Park, and everyone is welcome to join us there.
You should definitely check that out again. The Holocaust and its memory on September 9th from 4 to 5 p.m. at the Himmel Park Library. Well, Dr. Albrecht Clausen, I want to thank you so much for joining us here on the Buckmaster Show.
It was my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. And again, if you want to catch up with Bill on his vacation, go to his Facebook page, look for Bill Buckmaster, and you can follow along as he goes to Victoria Island and all these places. you know, he's always so good about posting these images of him and his wife enjoying their vacation. I mean, I've never seen anyone that enjoys vacation as much as Bill does, because he loves to travel. He loves to get out there and just explore different places and experience, kind of like what we've been talking about, experience different places and get to understand them and get to know them. I think he'd be a perfect example of someone that has, that knows history and would, is willing to get out there and really experience a place. Well, that wraps it up for me here on the Buckmaster Show. This has been Ray Allen filling in for Bill, and we'll be back again tomorrow with another great show. Be sure to tune in from noon to 1. We have more great local talk coming up here on 1030 The Voice, Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk.
Thank you.